How do you start a youth group in your church when you have very few or no young people? Chris Curtis has written an article on this conundrum in Roots Children and Youth, issue 129. Chris and I sat down to chat about the challenges, opportunities, and how it's really not impossible, and possibly not as hard as you'd think. Chris Curtis is the chief executive at Youthscape, a charity he founded 30 years ago in Luton. I had the privilege of working for Chris and the team for a few years, in schools and in local churches. Initially a great local youth work, the ministry has grown and now Youthscape is a leading force for innovation, research and support for youth ministry across the country. They host the annual National Youth Ministry Weekend in Birmingham in November and the annual Summer Festival Satellites. You can find out more about what they do at youthscape.co.uk. Starting from scratch really is possible.
It's nice to see you after quite a few years. Well, we've seen each other last year, I think.
Well, only occasionally, but yes, you'd have to go back. Oh my goodness.
I know, it's
Might
a long time.
20 years.
About that, I think. Makes me feel old.
That's but, awkward, isn't it?
Yeah. So I used to work for Youthscape even before it was Youthscape.
Yes, pre-Youthscape, Youthscape.
yeah, back in the day when it was just a very good local youth work. And now Youthscape has become an organisation that is training churches in cutting-edge youth work across the country. So,
well, it's, you know, Youthscape's sort of had three lives. It's 30 years old. It's,
wow.
It's probably had a decade in each. Decade one, very local, based in Luton.
Yeah.
I'm going to call that the pre-Mel days.
Yeah.
Decade two, this is your decade, okay? Yeah. So this is where you're responsible. Was sort of local work, but increasingly being asked to do bits and pieces nationally, train people. People were interested in what was going on here and the work with young people. And then sort of decade three, which we're just sort of concluding 30 years on, which has been really working nationally, but remaining rooted in the local. And on our best days, the things we're saying to churches up and down the country come out of the experience of working face-to-face with young people every day here in Luton.
Yeah, and that's very much like Roots. It's important to have the theory and the ideas, but it's all rooted in practice so we know it works.
Absolutely. You know, lots of people might have an idea about what works with young people, but often the things, I mean, I've been a youth worker for longer than 30 years, but I think I know what's going to land with young people. But even now, I'll go downstairs, we've got drop-in, I might try something, and I'm like, oh, that didn't work the way I thought it was. They didn't like that. Oh, okay. So, yeah, you really need, if you're wanting to provide resources and insight for youth workers and volunteers to use across the country, it has to be based in practice.
Yeah, yeah. And it's really helpful to connect with more than one church and more than one environment, because then you know that this works in small churches and big churches in the country and in the city. And yeah, it's all part of that. So I know that there are lots of churches subscribing to Roots that are struggling, that do not have any young people in their churches. They would love to have young people, but they haven't had them for a while. Or if they have them, they have one or two that are occasional. What could a church do if they don't have any young people, but they would like to have young people?
Well, the first thing I suppose I want to say is don't lose hope. I've now been spending more and more of my time in the last maybe 5 or 6 years working with the churches you described. That's where most of my time is being spent. And seeing those churches actually start something. So the first thing is don't lose hope. You are not out of the game. It's not impossible. The first big tip or trick, I suppose, let me call it a tip, that I'd want to say is how important it is to get the church leadership on board. We just know this from research as well as from practice. And actually, people that are listening today probably know it. You may be a church leader, in which case you'll want to know this. But things that are supported by church leaders last longer. This is not news, I know. It lasts longer, get more resources, get more input. So a few volunteers somewhere over there in the corner deciding to do something and sort of just telling the leader is the weakest way to start. Your first conversation is not with the young people at your doorstep. it's with the church leader, bringing them on board. They've got to share that passion. And part of what we're doing through a project we may talk about in a moment, I'm sure, called Launchpad, is working entirely with church leaders and actually gathering them together. And many of them, like many of us maybe, even thinking about this, wondering how to start, find it quite intimidating. How do I start working with young people? And even if we've had children, teenagers ourselves, the thought of starting a youth group and having someone else's teenagers, it's intimidating. How's this going to work?
Yeah.
And I say that, I'm the parent of some teenagers.
Exactly. And yeah, it feels different. It can feel daunting. You can feel like I've been out of the game, or maybe I was never in the game.
Yeah. I think you're worried that things have changed. And you're right. In some ways, of course, things have changed. I mean, in the last 10 years, for example, the smartphone, if nothing else, has transformed how young people not just get information, but carry out their friendships and relationships and connections. But also, reassuringly, lots of things haven't changed, like care and being present with young people and giving them time. It's been said that young people spell love, T-I-M-E. And that is true. It is true. So the fundamentals of being present with young people and giving them time, and that's what they need and want, have not changed. What I would say, if you're a church and you've got nothing, well, you might not have nothing, I suppose. Let me take you through three scenarios. Scenario one is we've got some children, but we don't have any teenagers. And there are quite a few churches in this context. In fact, if you're listening to this and you're connected to Roots and the resources that you produce, it's probably because you do have some children that you're looking after on a Sunday or whenever it might be. Properly fed and looked after, here's an astounding fact for you, those children will actually, believe it or not, turn into teenagers.
I mean, enough time and they turn into one.
It's like caring for a plant. You know, they'll be well fed, they'll be looked after, they'll be educated. They will end up as teenagers.
Indeed.
And you won't actually need to play a huge part in that. Parents and carers will do that. But what a lot of churches find is that they've got children's work, they've had children's work actually, maybe even for years, but it never produces.
Yeah, that transition's hard.
Yeah.
How do you get from that year six into that youth group?
So that's the first sort of way to start youth work, is to fix that problem. Mm. How do we constructively plan for young people to transition? You're absolutely right, year six. What does it look like for them to be held by the church? And will this podcast run to 2.5 hours? Do you want the no, probably not. So, I'm just going to tempt you with that thought that actually that's a critical way to fix that. Here's a second scenario. So when you say you've got no young people, what a lot of churches mean is not they've got no young people, but they've got barely any young people. So the vicar or the minister's kids come under duress.
Okay. Or somebody's grandchild so often.
Yeah, and there's that family and they sometimes come and they've got an 11-year-old and a 14-year-old. And, it's not nothing. You've got something, but it doesn't look or feel like a youth group. And of course, there's no reason why those young people, if you've got three or four spread around the church, would even want to hang out with each other. You can't presume.
They might be quite disparate ages, or they might be siblings and desperately want to be apart from each other.
They absolutely might feel like that. So you look at that and you think, what am I going to do with that? The truth is you can, in very small ways, begin to work with that group and use it, in a sense, as the starting point to grow something. And I've seen that work. So we think of youth work, well, at least I think of youth work when I was a youngster, and we've already established this is now decades ago and actually in the last century. But in that era, you might have imagined a youth group and there'd be 20 or 30 young people. And so there's lots of things you can do in that space and it kind of just all happens. Here we're talking about three or four young people in the church, but you can still gather them together. You just need to do it in the right way, in the right context. But even if you did it for half an hour once a month, the transition from doing a little to a little more is so much more imaginable than going from nothing to that first leap, the first time you grab that group and do something with them. And I was listening to a vicar, was it last week or the week before? The week before. She had exactly this scenario. And so she just thought this was Pancake Day. This is February. Is it Pancake Day, February? I want to say it is.
It is, I think. Beginning of March.
That. Okay.
Maybe.
Let's call it middle to late spring. And she was thinking about this. She'd been involved in actually one of our launch pad programs. And she thought, you know what? I'm just going to do it. She didn't sort of believe that these young people would want to get together. They're just as I've described. She had two youngsters of her own. There were one or two others in the church. But she said, we're just going to get together for pancake day. We're going to make some pancakes and we're going to do this simple little thing. And she didn't expect any of them to say yes, including her own kids. They all came. And they all loved it and they all wanted more. And she found that she'd gone from a place where she assumed there was nothing. But actually, when she looked and when she started, when she took that step, there was something. And so this was February. I'm talking to her last week or the week before, and she's beaming from ear to ear because this group has gone from strength to strength and more people have appeared from places she didn't know or expect. Mm-hmm. And suddenly she's got a youth group.
Yeah.
And then I said there were three scenarios. So there's the children scenario, there's the few teenagers scenario. And then I think this, you know, I'm going to say maybe it's the bravest version, but absolutely doable, which is, okay, there's nothing here. So let's go into the community and connect. So it might be engaging with a school, it might be engaging with another youth group or youth club, or even out on the streets or setting up something that young people can come into. Again, I know that feels, it is yeah. a challenge, but I've seen churches take some really brave steps. My favorite story, this is a Luton story, is from a few years ago, a church decided to do exactly this and they set up an after-school homework club. I know this doesn't sound like craziest fun if you're a teenager, but they're in quite a tough neighborhood, fairly near a school. And there are a surprising number of children who they're living quite small, limited accommodation. They don't all have their own bedroom. So when you go home and you're going to do your homework, if you're sort of 13 or 14, you're not sitting at some nice desk in your own bedroom with music playing.
You're competing with the telly and your younger siblings running around.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And you're propped on the side of the sofa. So for them, the opportunity to have a space where they could go is actually a treasure. It's really positive. Mm. Here's the thing, though. No one in the church engaged with this was under the age of 60. There were a couple of retired teachers, but they felt, because of that, they had just about enough confidence to start this thing and open it. So we're not talking about a group of youth workers in their 20s. You know, great if there were, but there weren't. This was a retired group of members of the congregation who just said, we are going to do something. Come on. Mm. And they opened this club and it thrived. Actually, that's not true. The first week they ran it, nobody came.
Yeah.
Literally nobody came, but they didn't give up. Mm. And gradually the message got through and it thrived.
And how did they get their message out?
They talked to the local school. So they had a good relationship through their church minister with the local school. It wasn't a church school. But the fact that they were doing something for the local community and putting a resource there for young people was much to the delight of the school. So they had their support.
That's great.
And I think what happened at that point was relationships get built, barriers get broken down. Mm. Teenagers discover that old people in the local church aren't as scary as they thought. Who knew? At least most of them. And those retired members of the congregation discover that, you know what, teenagers aren't nearly as intimidating as they thought. And they were really fun to hang out with. And it was actually the highlight of their week to be involved in this group. So these are small steps, but don't lose hope.
Mm, that's really good, Chris. Thank you. And I guess, how can people find out more? How can they get support if they're a church minister listening to this and they think, actually, I could really do with talking to Chris, finding out more, or I really want my church to do this? How can they find out more about Launchpad or other resources that would help them to start a youth group?
Well, there are two phases to Launchpad. So Launchpad, just to explain, is a project that does as I've described. It starts with the church leader and it says, are you willing to go on a journey about how your church could engage with young people? Can this matter to you? And this is going to come as good or bad news to you, depending if you're in the Church of England or if you're in the Methodist Church or a different denomination. And there are many denominations I know who subscribe to Roots. At the moment, we're in phase one of the project where we're working with 15 dioceses with the Church of England. So sorry to the others. But the good news is we're coming. So the project will expand in the coming years to include other denominations. That's on its way. So that's the big picture. The short-term fix is that, of course, on the Youthscape website, there are resources, there are guides, there's advice, there are practical things that actually give you something to do in the meetings and the sessions that we've just been describing. All of that's there. Much of it's for free. And alongside the day-to-day sort of resources that Roots provide, there are some games and activities that you can add into that. And all of that's there. And that's at youthscape.co.uk.
Wonderful. And I think it's just that all of these resources that are out there, they're there to equip people to think differently, to sort of open their eyes and look and just think, how could I try this? Could I take this Roots outline and go into school and do an assembly? Could I do a school's lesson, build some relationship? Could I run a prayer space in the school and, you know, do a bit of what we've been doing in our church group, but in that school space? And through those sort of stepping slightly out of our comfort zone, doing the things that we do on a Sunday, but in a different location, connecting, building relationships. And that's where we find young people. And that's where they find that we're not that weird. Well, maybe they find that we are weird, but we're fun weird.
Yeah, nice weird.
Exactly.
You're absolutely right. And I think often people, I can't remember, maybe this is even how you framed it. People are thinking about, how do I start youth work? Don't worry about that. Worry about what's the first thing I could do that would just be one step. I'm not trying to start a group that's automatically got to last forever more. And yeah, what's one thing I could do? I could go to my local school. I could put on this on Pancake Day or do something around Christmas. So it's not just how can I start a huge group and a program. It's can I just find one step I can take that draws young people into the life of the church and gives the resources of the church into the lives of young people. Having taken that step, that's where God takes things on and things just go from one step to another.
It's brilliant. Well, thank you so much for what you're doing with Youthscape, and thanks for talking to us, and hopefully we'll get to talk again soon.
Thank you,
Chris.
It's been fun.
Cheers.
You've been listening to the Roots for Churches podcast. You can find all our resources, articles and more at rootsforchurches.com. See you again soon.